Welcome to another message from Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information on Bridge, go to our website at bridgehelena.com. It is our prayer that this message will help you to connect with God, connect with others, and connect others with God.
Pray with me. Father, Lord, we are humbled to be in your presence on this Good Friday, Lord God. Lord, it's with mixed emotions that we are here, but Lord, we know the end of the story. So Lord God, as we spend time here in both this somber but incredible reflection, Lord, I pray that you open up our hearts and you open up our minds to a more complete understanding of what this day really means. And Lord God, help us not to rush things, because there's a 3-day gap where all hope seemed to be lost. But Lord God, help us to understand why this portion of the story had to take place. So Jesus, tonight, Lord God, we glorify you in your sacrifice, and we thank you for your obedience. Lead us and guide us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Thank you all for coming out tonight, and I'll be honest, this is not only the first Good Friday service I have done, this is the first Good Friday service I've ever attended, and when I was first asked to do it, I had mixed feelings about it, because it is an emotional time. It's a hard thing, and it's not something that we tend to... We don't have a lot of Good Friday services, it seems. And I was talking to someone earlier, and we were talking how it seems like we just want to rush to the resurrection. But we can't rush to the resurrection until we experience the cross. And it's the opposite of the world's logic. Before we can have life, there has to be death. So Good Friday is very much a day that, as Christians, we do approach it with a multitude of emotions, and we very much should. I believe the more we walk in our faith, the more emotional a day like this becomes. We create a deeper connection to a day like this because we grasp the life and we live the greater picture. We begin to realize more and more what the apostles went through, who were there. They were actually there. And within our faith, in our maturity, I believe we can relate to them more. We get personal, and we apply Good Friday to our own salvation, as we should, and our relationship with Christ. So tonight's very different than usual. It's very different for me than usual. On this Good Friday, I want to touch on three elements pertaining to the cross and then follow up with two of the most powerful statements ever made by Jesus. And I want to make one thing clear before we start. When I speak of the cross tonight, I'm speaking of the sacrifice of Christ. The cross was the chosen mode of execution at that moment in time. But Christ's sacrifice was the action that forever changed eternity. So we start tonight with element one. Why the cross? We know from the beginning of Genesis that God created everything including man, and he said that it was good. However, we don't get far at all into the book before everything changes and sin violently enters the world. We know that the Father is a loving God, and we also know that the Father is a righteous God, and because of his righteousness, which makes God holy and just, the Father had to deliver punishment. And as a result, death became God's just consequence for sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Within mankind's comprehension of justice, who are we to argue that the penalty of Adam and Eve's sin is not appropriate? Unfortunately, this original sin is one that has affected everyone who is in Adam and Eve's bloodline. That means every single human being. Mankind has chosen the wages of sin, so the payout can only be death. But look at the rest of Romans 6:23. It says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." The free gift of eternal life at its core is Christ's death upon the cross. We can never take that lightly. It's only because of his death, the perfect sacrificial death, that the door of salvation is open to us. We must never forget that without the incarnate Son of God voluntarily and passionately willing to die upon that cross, we would never and could never escape the wages of both our sin and Adam's sin. But because of the merciful and grace-filled love of the Father, we no longer have to be condemned to death. It really is hard to comprehend the level of love that has been extended to us. We like that part of the Bible, right? Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to bless you. Jesus wants to bring you in. And all of those things are true. But what's so hard to comprehend is the cost of that very love to each one of us. And though we may not be able to fully fathom it, how can we not desire such love? The second element is the enormity of the cross. Have you ever just stepped back and really thought about the magnitude of the cross? Again, it's something that we don't usually do. We're so busy. We get to church, we love the worship, we sit through the message, and then we're on with our week. And if we have time, we'll read our word. And if we have time, we'll pray. And lots of times we gravitate to certain scriptures and certain ideas. And we love the brightness of Easter and Resurrection Sunday and the celebration of all of those things. But we must all take the time, maybe seclude ourselves just with God himself, and think about the magnitude of the cross. See, the cross is the point in time, not only the point in man's history, but the point in eternity where there's a monumental shift and everything changed. Those that were in death and are in death are offered life. Those under judgment were and are offered redemption. Those who were and are separated from the Father are offered a relationship. Those who were and are seen as hopeless are offered hope. Those who were and are living in fear are offered love. The very sin that entered through Adam and Eve's decision to disobey God, that very sin that was unleashed upon the world, The very sin that has continued to multiply. The very sin that we are born into. The very sin that men and women choose to engage in. That sin and everyone progressing thereafter was dealt with upon the cross. That is enormous, wouldn't you agree? It's also quite personal, because Jesus bled and died for me, for my sin, for my disobedience. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, He made Christ, who knew no sin, to judicially be sin on our behalf, so that in Him we could become the righteousness of God. That is, we would be made acceptable to Him and placed in a right relationship with Him by His gracious loving kindness. It's that love and that gracious loving kindness that led Him to the cross. That's why He endured the cross for each one of us. Element three is the beauty and the brutality of the cross. See, this is where things take a heart-wrenching twist. And they should. Because the beauty and the brutality of the cross, they can never be separated. Though we as men and we as women, we try to separate that. Because the cross is so hard to comprehend and to rationalize. We try to separate out the brutality. We want to wear our cross around our neck that's polished gold and adorned with diamonds. But that's not the true cross. The true cross is brutal. But within that brutality, it's absolutely beautiful. See, the beauty of the cross is our salvation, and it is our redemption. Look at John 3:16-17. So, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. The Father's desire is that all will be saved through Jesus Christ. But the Father's cost is the brutality of the cross, where He looked upon and watched His only begotten Son bleed and die. See, John 3:16-17, those are the most beautiful words that were ever spoken. They describe a Father's love that is so great and complete that He would do absolutely anything and everything for His creation. That's wonderfully beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. But the Father knew that that beauty came at a brutal cost. The torture. And the death of His Son. John 19 says this. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged Him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on His head and arrayed Him in a purple robe. And they came up to Him saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And struck Him with their hands. And the brutality continued as Jesus was made to carry the very cross He would die upon. Luke 15, and they brought Him to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered Him wine mixed with myrrh, but He did not take it. And they crucified Him and divided His garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads, saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that they may see and believe." See, what we must understand is what the chief priests and the scribes could not. It's that there's beauty in the brutality, that there's power in the weakness, that there's sacrifice in the blood. The value and love that the Father has placed upon you is represented in the brutal sacrifice of his Son. Never forget that. Please don't ever forget that. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, he was in his incarnate life, and it was passing. And he took the time to purposely speak actually 7 different statements. But we're going to look at the 2 that I think are probably the most powerful statements that he ever said when he was walking this earth. Statement number 1, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." This is powerful simply because as Jesus was bleeding and dying, he was speaking out the entire reason that he came. He is declaring that by his death, his innocent death, that he was and is the way to redemption. Jesus' words of mercy and grace spoken from the cross they've echoed throughout every generation. And those very words, those personal words, are available to each one of us right now. Author Kent Hughes wrote this: "The cosmic trauma had begun. There had never been such pain as physical and spiritual evil now came against Jesus in terrible conjunction. Body and soul recoiled. The initial shock of crucifixion had rendered him paralyzed and quivering. Physical disbelief screamed from severed nerves, and even greater spiritual horror closed in. He would soon become sin. And yet he prays for his enemies. Not just the Romans who were pounding the nails, not just the Pharisees who condemned him, not just the crowd who called for his crucifixion. He prayed for everyone. He prayed for you. And he prayed for me." The second statement, it's just a 3-word statement: "It is finished." See, what it started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve had now come to a crossroads for mankind. Jesus was fulfilling what the Father's love had called him to do. And without this fulfillment, and within this fulfillment, the old sacrificial law was abolished. And in its place, the one ultimate sacrifice was given once, and it was given for all. Jesus affirmed and declared that the very promise of God was realized and completed in his sacrifice. There can be no question as to what Jesus has done for us. But the question now becomes, have you accepted and acknowledged the sacrifice? Do you understand the beauty and the brutality of the cross? Do you understand what it means when he says, "It is finished"? On God's side, he brought everything to completion. And he handed it over to us. Each one of us, he gave to us a choice. He died upon that cross so that our sins would be forgiven. But we must accept that sacrifice, or we will continue to live in our sin, and death will be our only option. Jen and John, if you guys would come up here. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, "For the message of the cross is foolishness." It's absurd and it's illogical to those who are perishing and spiritually dead because they reject it, just like the Pharisees and the scribes and all that were walking and mocking Jesus. But to us who are being saved by God's grace, it is the manifestation of the power of God, the brutality and the beauty of the cross, the enormity of his sacrifice. Let us never take it for granted. Let us never forget it. I want to encourage you guys over tonight, tomorrow, Sunday morning, ponder the cross. Think about the cross. Let the enormity of the cross, the sacrifice, touch you. It's hard to reconcile this emotionally because it's personal. Jesus went to the cross for you. Generally speaking, yes, mankind. But he went to the cross personally for you. I wanted this service to be very somber, and I'll be honest with you, this is the hardest message I've ever given. And it's okay to have that emotional response, to feel that remorse, to feel almost that disgust. That's the brutality of the cross. But the beauty of the cross is that the Father and the Son loves you so much that he did this. He would do it a million times again. But he doesn't have to, because once is for all. Father, we're so sorry that sometimes we don't give the respect to the sacrifice that we should. And Lord God, sometimes we would rather embrace our sin than cling to the cross. Lord, help us to understand more. Help us to feel it more. And help us to share your love more. The brutality and the beauty, it can never be separated. So Lord, forgive us when we try. Thank you that you loved us so much that you sent your Son to live and to die for us, each one of us. And Lord God, help us to ponder these things over the next 3 days until the glorious resurrection service on Sunday morning. We love you, Jesus. We pray this in your name. And everyone said, amen. You guys can be dismissed.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10 o'clock a.m. at Bridge Assembly, located at 725 Granite Avenue in Helena, Montana. For more information about Bridge Assembly, go to bridgehelena.com, and we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Jason Metz.